Hi, it's Sierra Miller. I can't wait for you to check out my new collection of shoes and accessories at Designer Shoe Warehouse. If you love shoes as much as I do, then trust me, I got you. From cute sneakerinas to the perfect flip-flops to stunning heels, these shoes are all style, no drama. It's a girl's girl summer, and DSW has just the shoes. Shop the Sierra Miller collection right now at your DSW store or dsw.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you working? What kind of work do you do?
This is the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Touchdown, baby!
Now, here are your hosts, two-time All-American punter Drew Butler.
Mark Richt would like Drew Butler to hit it a mile in the air. And he did. What a kick.
And the SEC's career leader in touchdown passes and completions, Aaron Murray.
Touchdown in stride as he crosses the goal line. Put it right on his hip. What a throw.
Now, with the latest from around the SEC and the world of college football, it's the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Get to the house, sideline, pylon, touchdown, and the Dogs are on the board first.
Victory is mine. Yeah, surprisingly, I've been lame. For your next mistake, I put in work and watch my status escalate.
Welcome into the Punt and Pass Podcast. I'm your host, Drew Butler. Join alongside my co-host, Aaron Murray. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Punt and Pass. I am at Drew Butler. Aaron is at Aaron Murray 11. And check out puntandpass.com, the number one destination for all things college football. We are up and rolling. Week zero, Aaron, in the books. What an amazing slate of action we have for the official kickoff of the 2021 college football season this week. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, college football. Every single day, it is going to be awesome. A little holiday Labor Day weekend coming up. Puntpass.com will have you dialed in. Our merch store is up there. Our blog. We'll add our picks up there as well. Good start. Good start. You and I both said Illinois would take care of business against Nebraska. You were back in the fold. You called San Jose State against Southern Utah this weekend on the CBS Sports Network. I was texting with you. And you gave me a little shout out right then after, so thanks for that.
Yeah, the punter for Southern Utah was hitting some beautiful Drew Butler like punts,
bombs,
and
yeah.
I had to throw it out there. If I see it, I'm going to call like I see it.
Yeah.
And he had a great one to start, like a 60 yarder. Then he had a nice little knuckler, caused a fumble.
Yeah,
and I was like, Drew would be proud. So let's give Drew a shout out. It was a great week zero. I'd love to get your. It's week one.
Yeah.
Games are starting. It's one. Zero means there's nothing going on. It's week one. It needs to be called week one. And enough with this QT week zero nonsense. But, you know, speaking of special teams, the Illinois-Nebraska.
Oh, my goodness.
Punt return. What are you doing?
That's insane.
You're going backwards.
At the half-yard line.
You're going backwards. Freaking stop, as my ESPN is going off right now. Just let it go in the end zone.
I cannot believe that.
And that's just, to me, that's all you need to know about what's going to happen to Scott Frost this year.
So
in
is
one
that
play.
His fault?
That's not Scott Frost's fault, but it just shows you the type of team that... The problem is you have a first-year head coach at Illinois.
Yeah.
And Scott Frost is heading into year four. And I'm someone who, you know, year one, year two, year three is going to be tough building a program.
Yep.
Year four is usually when you got guys that you recruited that are now juniors.
Yeah.
And they've been in the system. They've matured physically and mentally. This is the year to really see a huge step forward. If you can't beat Illinois and a first-year head coach, I know he's been in that conference before and had success at Wisconsin, but if you can't beat Illinois, what makes me think you're going to beat any of the big boys in that conference? It's already, his butt's hot already as it is. You lose
think?
Week one. You had mental mistakes like that. Adrian Martinez looked valiant effort in the second half.
For
but
sure.
Still, once again, he is not going to win you games, big games this season. I love Scott Frost, but it was a frosty start. I'll say that.
Yeah, no question. Illinois takes care of business in a big way. The final score was 30-22, but at one point they were leading by 21 points against Nebraska. That was the 1 o'clock kick on Saturday to really start this college football season off. The rest of the action, there were five games in quote unquote week zero, none very competitive. I think the Nebraska-Illinois game was closest, and again, it wasn't very close despite the final score. So you and I said it last week on our debut episode of Season 5 of Punt and Pass, which is now on the podcast park. I texted you yesterday. I got my car to run to Lowe's on Sunday morning, and Punt and Pass was playing on 680 The Fan right here in Atlanta. So that was pretty cool. But not really much to discuss in terms of football that we saw on the field in Week 0. And you bring up a good point. I have in the show notes right here, week zero thoughts in general. You say no. You say just go to week one. Should we call it week half? Week zero would intend that there is no action.
Exactly.
You're saying that there is action. You know, last year, or really 2 years ago, on the 150th college football anniversary, they had a big week zero. Remember that Miami-Florida mm-hmm. game in Orlando? There were a couple of other pretty predominant interconference games. That has not happened this year. So what should we do with week zero going forward? Because it seems like a lot of college football fans are split. Do we like week zero? Do we not like week zero? I will give a hat tip to the Big Ten because they have a lot of conference games. Last week, of course, Nebraska-Illinois, and this weekend as well, coming up in week one. So they're getting after it early. I mean, I guess I'll shout them out.
Just combine it all into 1 week, I guess. I don't
so
know.
So get rid of week zero.
Just get rid of week
okay,
zero.
Okay, it says get rid of week
zero. I see
zero.
Week zero, and I'm like, oh, the season's not started. It doesn't start till one is on my,
well, zero
my,
is
my
not
my
a number.
Screen. Zero is not a number. So
there is no
I don't
value.
Know if you want something that's not a number, like kickoff weekend.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe the fans. Why don't you tweet us at Drew Butler 13 at Aaron Murray 11.
Yes.
Let us know what you think week zero should be, or if you like week zero. I've just yet to meet anyone who says, rah-rah, I like week zero.
I mean, I like college football. I think we all love college football. We just need a new name for week zero, and I'll agree with you on that. Okay, but let's wrap this up with the week zero talk, because there's really not much to report, but Illinois whipped up on Nebraska 30-22. We spoke about it last week. A lot of smoke around this Nebraska program. They're being investigated by the NCAA. Scott Frost, this is his fourth season as Nebraska's head coach. Keep in mind, this is his alma mater. He was a quarterback there in the late 90s when Nebraska was in its heyday. And Illinois just dominated this game. And it goes to your discussion
with their
around
backup quarterback, too. Starter went down
Peters
early.
Gets out early. Looked like he cracked his collarbone. It was a disgusting tackle, meaning how he landed. It was not a dirty tackle whatsoever. But Illinois was just able to take care of business in a big way. Nebraska missed two extra points. That punt return in the end zone, then throwing the ball out of the end zone like that was somehow going to salvage a safety. The fumble return for a touchdown right before the half. I mean, I don't know if you can blame Scott Frost for this, but we all know the two people who are going to take the brunt for any loss are one, the head coach, and two, the quarterback. Adrian Martinez, valiant effort in the second half. Scott Frost, obviously Nebraska's fan base is one that everybody likes to say is a national fan base. They have continued to sell out games despite their team's poor performance. This is not 1995. Mm-mm. This is 2021. Nebraska, since going to the Big Ten, has pretty much been irrelevant. But Scott Frost, if he gets fired, I have it pulled up right here. Quote, if Scott Frost is fired for simplicity's sake on December 31st, 2021, that would be the final day, the second year of his contract. Nebraska would owe him $5 million for 2022 and $2.5 million for each of the final 4 years. That buyout total, Aaron, $15 million. That's a tough pill to swallow. And I don't think that's going to happen this year. Who are they going to get? This is Nebraska football. I think you got to let, first off, week zero, a lot of games left, 12 games left for Nebraska football.
But
my point is,
if you can't beat Illinois, I'm pulling up their schedule now. Next 2 weeks, you better win, or it may be a midseason fire.
Oklahoma is going to beat the brakes off Nebraska.
They have Fordham this upcoming weekend, then Buffalo. So 2-1. Let's just say they're 2-1. After that, Oklahoma loss, 2-2.
Big loss.
Michigan State, Northwestern, and then Michigan, the next three after that.
Yeah, I mean, look.
We'll revisit. I don't think this team is a bowl team. And if you're 5-7 or 4-8,
it's going to get loud.
Someone's going to pay. There's going to be enough people going to be throwing out some dollars to be like, let's.
That oil money in Nebraska.
Let's move on. Bye bye.
Well, let's move on right here as well and do a little week one look ahead. There are tons of games this weekend. As you said, the official start of the 2021 college football season. But get this, on Thursday, we have 14 games that start within 90 minutes of each other. That is going to be absolutely fantastic to kick off this long holiday Labor Day weekend. Plop down on the couch, get your favorite beverage, maybe Uber Eats some wings or something like that, and get after it. The premier matchup on Thursday would be Ohio State taking on Minnesota. And also, I don't know if this would be considered a premier matchup, but Tennessee, the Josh Heupel era, is going to get underway. Bowling Green taking on Tennessee. But listen to these matchups on Saturday.
Boise State, UCF. Come on.
Boise State,
UCF. You know
UCF.
I'm a group of five kind of guy.
You are a group of five kind of guy.
Malzahn, baby. Opening day.
Is that Thursday?
That's Thursday.
Okay. I did not get that
on
the show notes.
That's 7 o'clock on Thursday.
I like that, and that will be a fantastic game. Gus Bus, the new era at Central Florida, gets underway, correct? This is his first year at UCF. He was not there a year ago. He was at Auburn, of course, as Brian Harsin has taken over at Auburn. But listen to these other matchups. Number 19, Penn State against number 12, Wisconsin. Number 1, Alabama against number 14, Miami, right here at the Chick-fil-A kickoff game inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. Number 17, Indiana, taking on number 18, Iowa. Those are two top 25 Big Ten matchups. I like that. I like this game, too. Watch out for this game. Number 23, Louisiana versus number 21, Texas. I think Texas needs to be on upset alert.
Oh, 100% they do.
They just named Hudson Card the starting quarterback over Casey Thompson. I think that was a bit of a surprise. What about this game as well? Okay, you just called these guys. San Jose State against number 15, Southern Cal.
Let's go Spartans.
I think San Jose State and Nick Starkle could beat USC. Keaton Slovis, you know, Clay Helton. How is this team going to be
of the
this
season.
Year? I like it.
Well, okay, I got one more game for you before we start breaking them down a little bit. Is Friday night, too, a little ACC action. North Carolina, Virginia Tech.
North Carolina, we got a lot of action this weekend.
This is an exciting week one, but going back to your San Jose State versus USC, and this kind of ties in a little bit to UCLA versus Hawaii this past weekend, and then obviously UCLA playing LSU this week, as LSU had to find a new home because of the hurricane to practice and get ready for the game this weekend. Being able to play in our beloved week zero matchup allows these teams to get out there, knock the rust off, get in, watch the film, make the corrections, and then get ready for the week one matchups. So I think huge advantage for UCLA and San Jose State.
Yeah.
San Jose State obviously needs it a little bit. I mean, this is the defending Mountain West champions. They return 20 guys combined between offense and defense. Nick Starkle looks really good.
Yeah.
They got receivers. They got tight ends. They got offensive line, defensive line are probably the best in the Mountain West. I know this is still Mountain West compared to a Power 5 and a Pac-12 team and USC. But I think they can hang with them a little bit, especially because of the fact they got to knock off the rust and get that first game jitters out of the way, both for UCLA against Hawaii and for San Jose State versus Southern Utah.
Look, San Jose State is a 2-touchdown underdog. They're getting 14 points. Guarantee you that's over 14 by kickoff. I would take that as well. Louisiana, ULL, Louisiana Lafayette, getting 8 against Texas. More than a touchdown. I like that. As well, these dogs will be barking on kickoff weekend.
Will USC have as many fans as UCLA? That's what I want.
Ooh, that could be interesting. But listen to this. I just pulled this up. UCLA getting a lot of love from Las Vegas. They are only a 3.5-point underdog at home. I thought that number would be a little bit bigger.
It was.
So after an impressive week one, Vegas is saying, watch out, LSU. Like you just said, they are evacuating Baton Rouge right now because of the hurricane. Prayers to everybody down in the New Orleans area. Hope everybody's safe and sound. LSU will be in Houston this week and then head out west to take on UCLA as only a 3.5-point favorite. So great games coming up. And now we can really kind of dive into some of the more premier games. Of course, the one everybody's going to be talking about in our area on Saturday night, which is number 5 Georgia against number 3 Clemson in Charlotte. Other games, Sunday night, Notre Dame against Florida State. Monday night to kind of cap off Labor Day kickoff weekend, Louisville versus Ole Miss right here in Atlanta. But You mentioned a North Carolina game. We're about to dive into this Georgia-Clemson game. When I was watching game day on Saturday, a couple of people were sitting there going, well, watch out, North Carolina could win the ACC this year. Now, hold your horses. I don't know if I can take Sam Howell. More importantly, North Carolina's defense, not the offensive side of the ball, because they will be good on offense, to win the ACC this year. They're not going to upend Clemson. You know, I know they almost knocked them off 2 years ago. I don't think that's the case this year. Clemson is truly a reload-type team. They play well in big games. They're very well-versed when it comes to having to perform when it matters most. But I can't get there yet with North Carolina. I will be interested to see how they kick things off against Virginia Tech. Only a 5.5-point favorite. That kind of surprises me. You would think with their offensive prowess, Vegas would say North Carolina is going to take care of business in a big way. But, man, what an awesome, awesome slate of games to start week one.
Who are you most comfortable in the ACC taking down Clemson,
though? Well, it would only be North Carolina.
I think it's only North Carolina because of Sam Howell. And I know you're a little worried about the defense. And I think that's the part of this team that needs to obviously take a jump forward. But they got 10 starters back. They got guys with experience in the system. And anytime, as we know, watching college football, especially the past few years, if you have a quarterback, you have a chance.
Of course.
If you have a quarterback of Sam Howell's caliber, you have a chance to win football games, and you have a chance to win games against the big teams. And do they even play each other during the regular season, or would it have to be an ACC championship?
UNC escapes Clemson in the regular season, which is great for them, but no, they are not going to play Clemson in the regular season. Let me tell you one ACC team that I am not sold on. Miami. I'm not. First off, Alabama's going to beat the brakes off them this season. I mean, the season opener on Saturday.
How are you second not sold
off,
on them?
Second
you
off, were... De'Aaron King tore his ACL in the bowl game last year. I mean, I know he has had an amazing recovery, but I can't say that he will be the De'Aaron King that we're used to from the Houston days, from the cover Sports Illustrated days. And you know this through our years on Punt and Pass. I think one of the most overrated coaches in all of college football is Rhett Lashley. That's just what I think. And I think
even
that
they scored 34 points a game last year.
I think that will be proven 34? Against Alabama on Saturday.
But they're not in the same classification as Alabama. I don't want to prove Miami's worth this year because of what's going to happen in week one versus Alabama, because Alabama has one of the best defenses in the country. We know they're going to be fine offensively. They're a better football team. That doesn't mean Miami's not a top 20 team in the country.
Okay.
They're just not Alabama standard. But who is Alabama standard?
Not many. So, not many. But I see a loss against Alabama. I see a loss against UNC. I mean, hell, Georgia Tech could beat them. I don't really love to give Georgia Tech a lot of credit most of the times. Florida State, how are they going to be with Mackenzie Milton?
I think Miami is an 8-4 team.
Okay. That's not good.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know. I mean, you're talking about Miami. You ask any Miami fan, they're saying this is the year they're going to upend Clemson. And they get to, they don't have to play Clemson.
I think it's an 8-4, 9-3
team. Okay.
I think 8-4, 9-3, you're going to a pretty good bowl game, and I'm happy with that if I'm a Miami fan.
I think we're going to find out a lot on Saturday, and I'm excited to watch that game. It'll be a fantastic game. All right, the best game of Saturday is, of course, the Belk Bowl kickoff, or the Duke's Mayo Bowl kickoff, right? Duke's Mayo, wow. Number 5, Georgia, taking on number 3, Clemson. Look, this weekend you're watching football, you're in some text groups, people are fired up, you're looking towards the real action, which of course is coming in 5 days, and this game is the talking point, right, Aaron? So here are the notes that I have written down. You know, I want us to give a pretty high-level breakdown of this game. I know we're going to dive into it at a more granular level on Thursday's Punt and Pass. I want to talk about position by position, right? I want to talk about your confidence level for Georgia and or for Clemson heading into this game. What is the best case scenario for Georgia in Charlotte? And then tell me this. We'll just start it with this because I was at a family dinner last night. My brother-in-law was there. He's a Georgia Tech nerd. But I said, is there a chance that Georgia could get blown out in this game? 14-plus points, just like show up, couple turnovers early. Run game gets stopped. Now you got to back it up. JT's got to throw the ball around the yard. There's not many bodies out there, and it gets ugly. He was like, oh, yeah, there's a chance that could happen. And I said, you know what? Unfortunately, I kind of feel that way, too. There is much more of a chance that Georgia could get blown out than Georgia blows out Clemson.
Yes.
Yes.
I was feeling,
that worries me.
I think I said it last week on the show. I was feeling a lot better 3-4 weeks ago about Georgia before the injuries on offense, before losing Gilbert, and who knows what's going on with that situation. The injuries at the receiving position, losing Washington, losing that safety. Georgia got hit with the injury bug at the wrong time, and I also said this last week, too. The only thing that's going to get in the way of Georgia football making it to Atlanta this year is injuries. And I've seen a million great teams not reach potential because of the fact their guys weren't on the field. I know Georgia's pretty deep at most of their positions, but they're still not your starters. They're not the guy that has been the guy in spring and summer and the beginning of fall camp. So I think this is, I think Georgia defensively is going to keep them in this early on. I think Georgia offensively with JT in the run game is competitive. I'm still not ready to say this team's going to open up the playbook and really
they can't.
No, they just can't do it, especially week one right now. So I don't know if you want to go position by position.
Yeah, okay. And just let's say, let's start here though. Head coach.
Okay.
Kirby and Dabo. See, I wrote this down and I said
Dabo is a national championship.
I agree. And years past, more recently, in a big time spot, you know, Clemsoning is a thing of the past. I think you hit the nail on the head. Like, from a, hey, check out the trophy case type situation, you would have to tick Dabo on a, hey, position by position, coach by coach. You know, I guess just kind of toss it up and say, hey, until Kirby does it, which will happen. I thought he had some pretty cool comments on his Marty and McGee appearance that it's coming to Athens, just a matter of time. You just have to give it to Dabo at this point, but Kirby could make a real dent in that argument by having a great weekend.
Of course.
I agree with you on that one. Now go to
It's not that far. I mean, if Dabo's the number two coach in America, Kirby's 4, 5?
Yeah. Oh, Kirby's certainly a top five coach in America. There's no doubt about
right
that.
Right there.
Yeah, yeah. Totally agree.
Just got to get some more trophies.
Quarterback. DJU against JTD. I don't know.
I go DJ.
Okay.
I love
because of his one performance last year against Notre Dame.
Two performances. He played two games last year.
Notre Dame, and then who was the other one? Was it a big? Was it a big star?
I don't know if it was a big star, but I mean, he was 178 for 117.
78% completion percentage.
78 for 117, so 67%. Five touchdowns, no interceptions.
It's pretty stout.
I've heard from a couple scouts who have been in both spots and have watched both practices this fall camp, that DJ just, you want to talk about just pure arm talent, it's not even close.
Really?
To JT, yeah.
So DJ can sling it.
Can sling it.
Really?
Did you not see it last year?
Oh, I mean, I saw it, but I thought against, you know, a comparison against JT Daniels would be a little bit more, hey, both these guys are really, I mean, I know you're saying JT can sling it as well.
Pure talent.
But just move the ball.
Pure talent and his ability to move the pocket. I mean, JT's more of a true sit in there, break down the defense with the ball. But a guy that can do everything and someone that can throw the ball vertically down the field like no other, DJ is a dark horse to win the Heisman.
Yeah, yeah, I would
say
that.
Plus 1,200 right now, plus 1,300, somewhere around there.
Around there.
I think with him and Justin Ross, I think so. And that's worries me a little bit. I mean, I just said it 5 minutes ago. If you're going to want to win championships this year, it starts with the quarterback position. They have a quarterback. DJ Uiagalelei, did I say it right?
Well done.
Close? All right. Is an absolute freak back there. And for Georgia fans listening, I'm not saying anything against JT. I think JT is a great quarterback and is going to be potentially a top five, top eight quarterback in all of college
Just
football this year.
Players.
DJ may be the best quarterback in college football this year at the end of the day.
You know, and I would sit there and say, okay, well, he's going to have his hands full because Jordan Davis is an absolute monster on Georgia's defensive line. Nakobe Dean, who all reports out of camp have been that he has really kind of taken over that leadership role on Georgia's second level. And then one guy who I think is going to flash this weekend is Adam Anderson. I saw Adam Anderson, and he was just a very impressive-looking specimen. You're like, damn, this guy is long. Mm-hmm. He's physical. He can take over the edge, rush the passer, set the edge against the run. I would be really interested to see how Clemson opens up this game because, like you just said, Aaron, if DJU is going to be one of the best quarterbacks in all of college football, maybe they won't be so reliant on the run game, even though I firmly believe week one, you know, you got to set the precedent, own the line of scrimmage, move the chains, control the clock, boring football, but oftentimes if you can succeed in that manner, you will win. So you're ticking Clemson with the quarterback position by position. I would be hard-pressed to disagree with you. Okay, let's go to the skill positions. We won't go running back, receiver, tight end. Let's just talk skill position as a whole. From a health standpoint, you would probably think Clemson, Justin Ross is back. He is going to be an All-American wide receiver. For Georgia's side of the ball, if you lump in the running backs, I think you could make the case that Georgia, from a skill position perspective, might be better solely based on the running backs.
Yeah, and they have Justin Ross, but they still need to figure out some other positions on that. They got to figure out who's their guy. You know, for the past few years, it's been ETN, Mr. Do-It-All, catching the ball in the backfield, running it, Trevor Lawrence throwing it, using his legs also as a run threat, DJ Uiagalelei. We'll see what kind of runner he is within this system. Justin Ross is an elite receiver, and that's the difference. If we want to do position by position, you give obviously receivers to Clemson because of that until Georgia can prove that they have an elite receiver. It's just it's a good group of guys, and that's all.
Yep.
It's guys that can be efficient. Nothing in my mind that's still at the point where they can be explosive, and then you throw in the injuries. Yeah, it really hurts him at the tight end and receiver spot. What you said, man, running the football, and I think that's where the difference is going to be in this game, and then what's going to give Georgia the opportunity to possibly win this game is the line of scrimmage. This is still football at the end of the day, and I know last year got to be a little 7-on-7-esque with the throwing, with the lack of tackling. I think we're going to see more physicality this year. We're going to see better defense this year, and that means we're going to need to see better play at the offensive line position. And we're going to want to see teams be able to get dirty and run the football. And Georgia has that. Georgia has a stable of backs, very, very talented backs in Zamir White, Milton, the list, James Cook, the list goes on and on. And Clemson has to replace ETN. And to me, I think because of the way the game is going to shift a little bit more to, I believe, more physicality this season compared to last, I would give the edge to Georgia in what we call the skill position battle,
even
with the injuries at receiver.
No, I agree with that. And I think Coach Monken and Coach Spart, more specifically, will make sure that that strength, the running backs, will be highlighted in a big way first and second quarters next week. There's simply no doubt about it. And I think Georgia needs to be conservative to a point, but move the chains, own the line of scrimmage, go from there. Hey, get out at halftime, regroup, and say we got 30 minutes to go out there and win this football game and set ourselves up for a special 2021. All right, let's go to the defensive side of the ball because a lot is being made about Georgia's defense right now. You know, Coach Lanning back, defensive coordinator once again, tons of talent. Darian Kendrick, the transfer DB from Clemson, who I think will be a humongous piece of success for Georgia if they're to come out with a victory on Saturday. Tyke Smith, the transfer from West Virginia, the safety. He had the foot injury. He posted on his Instagram, Aaron, a picture of him wearing normal shoes. So read into that as you will. But when you talk about the defensive line and the linebackers in general, I think you tilt Georgia at the defensive side of the ball. And if Georgia can stifle DJ Uiagalelei, force Clemson to rely on running backs that have not been proven, really put pressure on that offensive line, you know, you could get Clemson and Tony Elliott, the offensive coordinator over there. He's still the offensive coordinator, right? I believe so. He didn't get a head coaching job. You can force them to get out of their game plan.
Yep.
And I think then, you know, the ball gets into Coach Smart and Georgia's court where they're sitting there going, love it. Kick us the ball back. We're going to continue running it. We're going to own the clock, move the line of scrimmage, see what happens late in the fourth quarter. That could be a good game plan.
Well, I think, to me, it's a coin flip when it comes to the defensive line. I think Clemson's defensive line, headed by Brian Breese at defensive tackle, that guy is an absolute man there at 6'5". 300 pounds. He was a beast last year in his freshman year. Very similar to Jordan Davis. Obviously, Jordan Davis is, I don't think, could fit through the door heading into the studio we're in right now at 6'6", 340.
He is massive.
Massive. But if you want to clump them as a whole of front seven versus front seven, I would take Georgia's front seven against anyone else in the country.
Yeah. That's a powerful statement, and it's probably true at this point.
I think Georgia's front seven with Jordan, Walker, Quay, N'Kobe Dean, Nolan Smith, I think those guys can go head-to-head with any front seven in all of college football. And that, to me, we talk about, you brought up, you were talking to your buddy about the fact that Georgia could get blown out this weekend. If and we're going to find out this weekend, if 2021 is different than 2020 and everything I've been saying about physicality, then Georgia should be in every single game this year because of that front seven.
Yeah. That's a great point. When you look at, you know, let's just look at the NFL. Any really good team, like a Super Bowl winning team, look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last year. Look who they had on their front seven. Mm-hmm. Dominick Sue, Jared McCoy.
Well, because
McCoy,
you know why?
Jason Pierre-Paul.
You know why it helps?
Because you can get after the quarterback without having to blitz.
And you can play too deep.
Yes. And just force them.
Play cover two and sit back and say, Justin Ross, we're going to double you.
Yeah.
You're going to play outside. We're going to have a corner that's going to hit you at the line of scrimmage. And we're going to have a safety over top. If you don't have to put a safety in the box and allow an offense to create those one-on-one matchups on the outside, it's so frustrating for a quarterback.
Yeah.
I remember we played UCF my freshman year, and they played cover two the entire game. And we couldn't run the football. And
was this the Liberty Bowl?
The Liberty Bowl.
And what a great game.
And we might have had too much fun before the Liberty Bowl, first off. But they played cover two the entire damn game. And I'm like,
can't do anything.
I'm like, Bubba, there's nothing. Can we run the football? Because there's nowhere to throw it. If you can't force a safety into the box, it's the same thing that happened to Kansas City in the Super Bowl. Tampa just sat there, stopped the run, and played cover two, and those guys, those Tyreek and Travis, just could not get any kind of one-on-one matchups to exploit the defense. And that is what Georgia can do this year, and that's how Georgia can slow down this offense. Say, hey, we know you don't have Travis Etienne. We know there's a question at the running back position. We're not super concerned about inserting a safety to slow down the run game. We're just going to line up 4-3, 3-4, whatever it is, two deep, and say, hey, we're going to slow down DJ and Justin Ross.
Yep.
And if you do that and limit Justin Ross, ball game, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, you're totally
spot on. But that front seven is the reason why they have a chance.
And you know what's crazy about that front seven specifically now, so much different from like in 2010 when we played UCF in the Liberty Bowl, is the depth that Georgia has.
Mm-hmm.
Now when you can rotate those defensive linemen and even the linebackers, and it's proven 4 and 5 stars that are coming in with fresh legs, that's how you dominate a football game. That is how late in the third quarter, early in the fourth quarter, you stretch that lead out, give yourself the ability to continue to run the ball and have a lot of fun as a team and win those big games. So I think we're both saying Georgia on the defense side of the ball, that's an advantage
front seven,
to the Dawgs.
Front seven.
Yeah,
I mean, I give the back end to Clemson.
Back end to Clemson, just again, based off injuries for Georgia.
The injuries are not, without the injuries, maybe coin flip. With the injuries, definitely Clemson though.
Well, I can tell you one thing with my expertise is that Georgia has the advantage when it comes to special teams.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no doubt about it. When you're talking kicking the football, Jake Kamara, mm-hmm. preseason All-American, absolute stud. His leg is way stronger than mine ever was. I'm pretty jealous at how far he can kick the ball. And Jack Podlesny, I'll be really interested to see how Jack performs. He had an amazing kick to send Georgia off with a Peach Bowl victory, obviously a great offseason for him.
Yep.
His offseason would have been a hell of a lot different if that kick didn't go in. I mean, I'm not going to fault him for that. He deserved it. He earned it. Now it's time to really step up, right, Aaron, and say, hey, I'm going to build off that big kick. But Georgia, heading in from a kicking perspective, certainly has the advantage. And I think from a return and coverage perspective as well, look, they put their guys out there. I would expect Kyaris Jackson to be back there again, returning some kickoffs, punts. You're going to have some really explosive athletic guys. That's not to say Clemson won't either. But I think Georgia, from a kicking and coverage standpoint, should have the advantage here. And that's going to be big. Make DJU and that Clemson offense go 80-plus as often as you can. Don't do anything stupid like you saw Nebraska do this past weekend in the kicking game. And this is going to be a dogfight. I want to say this, and I will give the advantage
to Georgia. What's the weather?
You know,
I know you were big on weather last week, saying you get a little sloppy.
Well, I saw that, but I think the track of the hurricane went more inland than expected, and I think it will essentially be out of the way by the time this weekend comes. I know us
Saturday,
here in Atlanta,
88 degrees, 2% chance of rain in Charlotte.
So let's go. Let's go.
And a huge advantage for Georgia if it was raining.
Look, we're going to dive into this thing in a big way on Thursday's episode. I'm looking at ESPN.com's matchup predictor. They give Clemson a 69% chance of winning based on ESPN's football power index. I would probably disagree with that.
Yeah.
But this is going to be an awesome game.
As you're wearing your Georgia shirt.
Yeah, I got to go golf. I'm heading out to golf. 680 the Fans tailgate kickoff classic.
Nice.
I bet you it's going to be 150 degrees out there today, but I am I'm going to
better
do
than
it.
Mine. Our game in San Jose was 100 at kickoff.
Oh, I saw the field temperature.
No, that was Fresno.
Fresno
was 117.
Jeez.
And that's because they played, at, what was it, 2 o'clock that time, West Coast time?
Yeah.
If we were playing at 2 o'clock, it probably would have been closer to 105 field temp. I mean, I was in the booth sweating my butt off. I'm like, right before we went on camera, I'm like dabbing myself like, oh my God, I'm dying right now.
That's amazing. Yeah, we're going to have fun. College football is back. I am excited for this Georgia-Clemson game.
I'm excited for this weekend.
Yeah,
holy
I know.
Crap.
Official prediction will come on Thursday's show, but be sure to check us out. Our YouTube channel is up right now. I'm looking at our camera right now. You can go check us out, puntandpass.com. YouTube's up there, at puntandpass on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Drew Butler. Aaron is at AaronMurray11. Shout out to my guy, Dan Matthews, in the booth. You can find us on the Podcast Park, anywhere that you listen to podcasts. Aaron, you fired up for this week, man?
It's here. It's finally here. And NFL preseason's over with. We can push that away.
Yes.
That was fun to watch.
Yes.
But I'm just excited about all the big-time matchups starting on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
That's it.
Let's go.
That's it. All right, holler us out on social media, at Punt and Pass, and we will talk to you on Thursday. For Aaron, I'm Drew. See you.
Don't forget to download the Southern Sports Today app. You can listen to this and every show on podcastpark.com or wherever you get your podcast needs.
Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really?
At a playground?
Yeah, really. Look at these listings from dealers.
Wow, your search can really get that specific.
Really?
And you just put in your info and boom, car's in your budget.
Mom needs a second, honey.
You can really have it delivered?
Really? Or I can pick it up at the dealership.
Mom!
One sec, sweetie.
Mommy's buying a car.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Kyle, again? Really?
Auto Trader. Buy your car online. Really?
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.